أعوذ بالله من الشيطان الرجيم. بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم. الحمد لله رب العالمين وبه نستعين، والصلاة والسلام على أشرف الأنبياء والمرسلين، حبيب قلوبنا وطبيب نفوسنا، رحمة للعالمين، أبي القاسم محمد، والصلاة والسلام على أهل بيته الطيبين الطاهرين المعصومين المظلومين، ولعنة الله على أعدائهم أجمعين. أما بعد، السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. The particular topic that we are going to discuss, before we do that, I think there were some prerequisites that needed to be discussed, which I'm not sure if the first session covered it, but we're going to go through those prerequisites and then inshallah get into the letter that Imam Ali al-Salam wrote to Hazrat Malik Ashtar when he was put as a governor for Egypt, for Misr. You see, in reference to everything that relates to human life, whether it is the rights of human beings, whether it is marriage, having kids, working, anything that relates to human beings, even religion, excuse me, would have to be, like, it can only be put into reference and understood once we have the discussion of what a human being is in the light of Islam. Once we have understood what a human being is and what is the role of a human being, then we are able to understand the rest of the things that relate to our lives. And the main problem that we see around the world is that the definition of a human being has been given as a Homo sapien, as an animal which has gone through an evolutionary process by which now it has reached a state in which it has acquired a certain level of intellect and to be able to use the tools that are necessary for survival, to be protected from the natural climate and for it to be able to get food, to be able to build shelter, to be able to have a social structure that is actually based, that can also be compared to the social structure of ants or the social structure of other animals that live in this earth. Because human being is looked upon as an animal just going through the evolutionary process and coming to this particular state in evolution, the scientists who believe in the evolutionary theory also believe that the other animals have the same potential, where they can also reach the same level of intellect and the ability to use the tools and to have a social structure as human beings have today. You see, this is where all the problem lies, and by which, because the definition is given as such, the system or the rights that are given to human beings or the social structure that is created or the tools that are used, you will see that oppression and tyranny rules around the world. So in order for us to be able to discuss human rights, we have to discuss first what a human being is and what is the role of a human being and what are the potentials of the human being and why is it that we are very much different than animals and what are the criteria by which we are defined as human beings and separate from the animal kingdom. See, there are different criteria that are given that a human being is the one who has freedom, has the intellect, has knowledge, has freedom. And because of all of those things, we are, different than animals. In reality, the criteria that Islam gives, and we're not going to go too much in detail about the different perspectives that are given, because then our discussion will get too lengthy and we might get actually off track of our human rights discussion. But I would suggest to the brothers and sisters who are watching or listening that they should look into spiritual discourses from the book from Ayatollah Shahid Mutahhari Rahmatullah Alayhi. In the first couple of chapters, he discusses this particular idea of what a human being is and what is the criteria and what is the school of a human being. So in reality, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, when he created a human being, when he created Hazrat Adam alayhi salam, he did mention what was a human being and what was the role of a human being. So he mentioned to the angels that were present there that I'm going to create a being that I'm going to put on this earth as my representative. And the angels had objected to this particular fact because they looked at the animals that were present on the earth who were run by instincts, and they were creating bloodshed, meaning they used to fight with each other and you know, kill each other. And the angels looked at the similarities to the human body, to those animals that were present at that time on earth, and they objected to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala's order, or they didn't object to the order, but to the point that why do we need a representative on this earth when you have something similar on this earth which is creating bloodshed and killing each other. And the angels were looking at the human body, which, you know, is similar to the animals, that we have eyes, ears, our five senses are there, and so the animals have the same thing as well. And maybe through that same misunderstanding, the human beings of today have looked at, upon themselves as an animal which has gone through millions of years of evolutionary process to be able to come to this particular part in history. Although the evolutionary theory also has other goals, and that is the biggest goal that it has is to get the human beings away from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and the religion, any sort of religion, and get them to come to understanding that religion is a dogma and that you were animals and you've come to an evolutionary process, and after this there is nothing, the rest of the evolution will continue and the generations to come will get better or worse. So when they looked at the animals, they looked at the body of the human being, said, objected, and Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala told them that you do not understand what I intend. Hazrat Adam alayhi wasalam told that knowledge that was told by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to him, to the angels, and they, you know, said that we do not know what you know, and they prostrated in front of Hazrat Adam alayhi wasalam to the level or the potential that a human being has in all of the creations that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has created. And when Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said that I'm going to make him a representative of mine, in reality the only creation which has the potential to become a representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this universe is a human being. So in reality a human being is a representative of Allah who is put on this earth, but there are certain representatives of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that He has made them, appointed them, chosen them, who are, you know, who are sent by Him on this earth to deliver the message that was taught to Hazrat Adam alayhi wasalam, which will elevate human beings to the level higher than angels and make them the best of His creations. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala sent 124,000 prophets, representatives with that knowledge to give to human beings to elevate themselves, to have the potential to elevate themselves to the level where they can become a representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, a source of mercy, forgiveness, love, care, sustenance, forgiveness, and all the different qualities that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has that a human being can acquire through the process of living a life on the system of Islam. And when a person goes through living a life through the system of Islam, can achieve different levels of representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala on this earth. And those particular representatives of Allah that came, 124,000 prophets, they brought that message. And the representatives of the prophets, the Aimma alayhimus salam, also brought that message, explained that message, explained the rights, the definitions, the purpose, what a definition of a human being is, so that human beings can acquire that level in their spirit, in their character, in their heart, in their soul, in their society, in their social structure, in their economical structure, in every single part of their life to the highest level and degree where they are given the title of a representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So the discussion of human rights actually goes through that the representative, if you look at the worldly way of looking at a representative, the representative is representing someone else. The representative himself does not have an identity or uniqueness. The representative is there because the being that this person is representing is that being is actually has sent this person or chosen this person or has given them the authority to actually speak on their behalf, talk on their behalf, act on their behalf. So everything that the person is doing is actually, the representative is doing in the worldly way that we look at things, is that they are representing someone else and they're talking on their behalf or acting on their behalf, and whatever that they do is actually a seal, or it is just as if the person was there. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is present everywhere. It is not as such that, you know, He disappears and then comes back again, or that He requires a representative because He is not able to be everywhere or see everything, or that He requires that. Now, when a person will, for example, send, we will discuss inshallah the letter that Imam wrote, and I had to give these prerequisites before getting into the discussion, and this letter also, mashallah, is lengthy, and if I was just to read it, it will take us almost close to the end of our discussion. So I would suggest to my brothers and sisters to go home, or when they have a chance, to read this particular letter. Although we are not governors, we're not given the authority to rule over people, but there are many lessons that we can learn and then acquire into our daily lives, and also understand what human rights are and what a social structure is, and what in Islam is the meaning of government and authority and leadership. So it's a very good reference point for us to be able to take a look at it. So Imam Ali a.s. is sending a governor, he's sending a representative of his, he's sending Hazrat Maliki Ashtar as a representative to go and to speak to the people, or to rule over the people of Egypt. And his actions, his sayings, the way that he's going to act is going to be a representation of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam and of his authority. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is not such that He requires a representative, but the creation of His requires a representative by which they can see, touch, have the five, utilize their five senses, have a being in front of them, and see that being as a vasila, as a medium from their Creator to receive the beneficence and mercy of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and sustenance, and ilm, knowledge, hikmat, wisdom, and so forth. So it's not that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala needs in His essence, but it is the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that require a representative, so that order can be maintained. You see, when there was no representative on this earth, there was no order. The animals that were living here were not living by an order, by a system. They were just run by instinct. And in a way, instinct is also a system, but it does not bring about, justice for the weak. It doesn't bring about rights for the weak. In an animal society or system, the fight is of the fittest. If an animal is weak or is not able to stand up or run or acquire food, then this animal will die or will be hunted by other animals who are stronger and will not have the shelter and protection that this animal could have if the animal was fittest out of everybody and had the ability to run and hunt and so forth. So reality was that the representative was required to protect the weak of his creation, to protect the beings who were, who were not at the same particular level of not just materialistic but also spiritual enlightenment and character, and that were, that had made their own lowly desires made them weak, or because of the insatiable desires and unsatisfaction of human beings' desire, which just wants to just hoard everything for himself and not give anything out, whose desires, the lowly desires, want to control the 6 billion people so that a few elite or a few people can run this world, and the rest of the people would have to have not the same level of opportunities, or the same level of rights, or the same level of protection, or the same level of freedom, or the same level of liberty, or the same level of integrity or nobility. So the reason for a representative is there to protect the weak, is to protect the weak and also to bring about an order. And the third thing is to make sure that the tyrants or the ones who are, you know, who have this insatiable desire or this greed to hoard money and to control the others and to make them as their slaves, so that the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala can make sure that these individuals are punished, that these individuals are told not to do this, and the weak are protected, and an order is brought so that everybody can live on this earth, including the animals, the plants, this earth, this whole universe, can live in an orderly and in a just manner where the rights are given to every single individual. So far what that we have said is that a human being is a representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the representative does not have anything of themselves, but it is actually the representation that they're doing of their higher authority. So in reality, there's only one authority, there's only one supreme power, there's only one head of every government and system, and that is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And the representative of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala uses the knowledge that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has given to him, and the piety and the righteousness and the fear of Allah, and all of the good characteristics in the character that a human being has been able to acquire by their own free will as well, and power of choice, that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has blessed this particular individual and helped this particular individual to acquire those characteristics and become a representative of the qualities of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, where about they can implement the authority of Allah on the creation of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And by implementing the authority of Allah, they can bring about order, they can bring about equality of rights as it is deserved, they can make sure that there is no tyranny or oppression, that they can make sure that there's not a few elite that will run the rest of the world and the people will become slaves to their will. So now that we have come to this particular conclusion, when we look at letter that Imam wrote to Hazrat Malik Ashtar, in the beginning he says that, "I order you, Malik, always to keep the fear of Allah in your mind, to give priority to His worship and give preference to obeying His commands over every other thing in life, to carefully and faithfully follow the commandments and interdictions as are given by the Holy Book and the tradition of the Holy Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa sallam. Because the success of a man to attain happiness in this world and in the next depends upon these qualities. And a failure to achieve these attributes bring about total failure in both the worlds." As you can see that Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam is mentioning in first to Hazrat Malik Ashtar that he should have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should worship Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, he should make sure that he follows every single thing that the Holy Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has said and the religion says. And if he does that and he does not obey anything other than those, then he will be able to receive happiness in this world and success in this world and also in the hereafter. So the main thing is that every single person, whether they are the governors, whether they are the leaders, whether they are the ones who are being ruled, the main thing is that everybody in the society should have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and should follow every single advice and obligation and duty and rule and law of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And if everybody does that the leader does it and the people who are following him does it, they do it, then you can have a world filled with justice. And if the people decide that they are not going to fear Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, that they are not going to follow the obligations and the laws of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then the responsibility to keep them in check and to have the social structure run with justice and liberty and equality is the responsibility of the person who has been chosen by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala or given the authority by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, or his representative gives the authority to someone else, as in the case of Hazrat Malik Ashtar in this letter, then they have the responsibility to make sure that the individuals, the creations of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, are upholding the system of Islam and also having the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in their heart. And then he goes in saying that I order you to use your head, heart, hands and tongue to help the creatures of Allah, because the Almighty Allah holds himself responsible to help those sincerely who try their very best to help him. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has further ordered you to keep your desires under control, to keep yourself under restraint when extravagant and inordinate yearnings and cravings try to drive you towards vice and wickedness. Because usually yourself tries to incite and drag you towards infamy and damnation unless the merciful Lord comes to your help. So in reality, to make sure that your lowly desires are in control and the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is there, the person in authority who wants to implement the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, they have a much higher criteria and responsibility than the people who are being ruled. But when you look at it, you'll see that the leaders around the world that are there, they are the ones who are most extravagant. They're the ones who indulge in the most lowly desires. They're the ones who live a life of extravagance, where they take the money they themselves, they don't earn, like they don't work. They earn the money, they take the money of the ones who are being ruled, and they use that money to fulfill their own lowly desires and live an extravagant life. So if the leaders are going to do that, then this is going to become a precedent for the people that are being ruled, that if our leaders are as such, that means that to live in extravagance and to have everything and to have a capitalistic system and to become imperialistic and do whatever your heart desires, then the people will, this will seep into the regular, in the awam, in the people who are being ruled, and they will also try to follow that. And then when everybody starts to follow that, then obviously you cannot have justice, liberty and equality. And what will happen is that you will have an animalistic system in which there will be only the fittest that will survive. The weak will be lost, will be killed, will be persecuted, will be put in prisons, would not be given the rights, would not have any liberties, would not have any freedoms, and would not have any equality. And this is, what you see, this is what you see around the world. And then he goes further, says, let it be known to you, Malik, that I'm sending you as a governor to a country which has seen many regimes before this. Some of them were benign, sympathetic and good, while others were tyrannical, oppressive and cruel. People will judge you, your regime as critically as you have studied the activities of other regimes, and they will criticize you in the same way as you have censored or approved other rulers. So Imam is also saying that, when you are going there, there are going to be a frame of reference that people will have of the other systems that were there. So they're going to be looking at you through their frame of mind or the perception that they've already built, and they're going to be looking at you and looking at you through a critical eye to see whether you are better or the ones who were previously better. Or are you a bigger tyrant than the ones who were previously as tyrants? Just as you, Malik Ashtar, who is going to be looking at the previous rulers and regimes of how they were and what they did to the people of that country. So when we look at, in Misr, in Egypt, all the revolution that you see and all the title is Islamic Awakening, the people realized that this tyrannical rule that they were living in, that their rights were not given, they did not have the same opportunities as others, there was a class system, there were people who did not have the same liberties and freedom, that they were not equal to each other, they were not able to progress further, they were not able to take care of the necessities of their lives. They stood up against the regime and they started asking for their rights. And their frame of reference, even after 32 years, whatever that you are going to look at, they haven't really seen a system or a ruler that can actually give them the rights, and they can have the freedom, liberty, and equality in their own country. But they saw in the world that there was a country in which the ruler was such that he lived a simple life, a contented life, did not go into extravagance, did not go and follow his lowly desires, was a protector of religion, was a protector of the people who have been made oppressed all around the world, and that their system was based on the teachings of Quran and the teachings of the Holy Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and they had been able to achieve a sense of independence, and all of the leaders that were there, they had checks and balance, that there was not such that that a person was above the law. In which, in this lecture, Imam goes further in detail as well about Hazrat Malik Ashraf and how he's not above the law. That there is a process of check and balances, that he is governing the people of Egypt, and he's being governed, and he is responsible to Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, and Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam is responsible to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the ultimate authority in this chain of command is of Allah, but everybody in this chain of command is responsible and has checks and balances. So when they saw this particular system, they got motivated, as also Imam Khomeini Rahmatullah also had said to the people of Egypt to rise up and, to be able to take their integrity and nobility and rights from the tyrannical rules that they were being ruled. And he had hopes for them, and which his hopes actually became true, and the people did rise. They saw that as a precedent, they saw that as the void that was there in their own leadership, and that gave them hope, and the rest you have seen in the news, and they stood up against the tyrannical rule. So if the people have a precedent, if the people have something to measure by, if the people have a frame of reference, if the people have perception, although it might be only one in the world, but the rest of the people of the world, as the world has become a village or a small place because everybody is interconnected with each other, they can be inspired by that. And by being inspired, they can also actually want to have the same sort of system there, where the authority is Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and the leader is pious and righteous and brave, defender of the people's rights around the world. So you see, people always, whenever they are ruled, they always look at the previous regimes or people that came, and they try to compare. And this sort of happened in US as well when the election time was there. They had a choice to give the vote to the same sort of way of thinking as previously by George Bush, or they can decide on something brand new, and who was asking for change, and who was saying that I'm going to bring about change, and give the rights of the poor, and have the rich give enough taxes so that equality and social balance can come, and economically everybody can become good. But so they were trying to compare the two, and out of the two evils, they decided on the lesser one and decided to go with that. But they realized, and they are realizing now, that this decision that they made actually was a worse decision than choosing the other side. So in reality, we know that the way that the system is, the system is not based on the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, but the system is based on the authority of shaitan, of lowly desires. The authority is whatever your heart desires. The authority is you can engulf and hoard as much as you want, even if the poor are going to suffer and the rest of the world is going to suffer. So we understand the system, even though the system is as such, but when you see these leaders who come in this system, they also try to make sure that they say to the people that I'm not going to be like the previous one that was there leading you. As Obama has said that, I'm not going to have the same sort of foreign policy as, previous president, and I'm going to try to bring change, and I'm going to do this, and so they're also using the other tyrant or the other ruler as a frame of reference and telling the people that they're going to do things differently. So Imam is saying that, you know, you have to be careful. The people are doing this and you are also going to do this. So you have to be careful in that. So then he goes further to say, you must know that a good and virtuous man is known and recognized by the good that is said about him and the praise which Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has destined him to receive from others. Therefore, make your mind the source and fountainhead of good thoughts, good intentions and good deeds. This can only be attained by keeping a strict control on your desires and yearnings, however much they may try to incite and coerce you. Remember that the best way to do justice to your inner self and to keep it out of harm is to restrain it from vice and from things which the self inordinately and irrationally desires. Then he goes further saying, Malik, you must create in your mind kindness, compassion and love for your subjects. Do not behave towards them as if you are a voracious and ravenous beast and as if your success lies in devouring them. As we mentioned to you earlier that in the animal kingdom, this is what happens is that when there is a ruler, there is an alpha male. The alpha male is there to devour and to supersede all the rights of the others and take as much as possible. So if we go further and try to look at the world, we see that, you know, this sort of idea about restraining yourself and not falling in, Imam used the word here, sin. And in every religion, you know, tyranny is a sin. To help the oppressed is asked for. To do justice is asked for. To live a life of righteousness and contentment. Not to have worldly desires or not to have the attachment to the worldly desires as such that you develop greed and jealousy. All of the religions, they say the same thing. Although the root that Islam has is Tawheed and the rest of the religions don't have this root. Therefore, although they're saying the similar things as Islam, but because the root is different, the results are also different. So although a person who will come up will talk about justice, will talk about liberty, will talk about that I'm not going to fall in sort of, although the society is a secular society, so the saying name of God becomes a little bit difficult for the leaders. But although they say that in God we trust and, you know, they seek the help of God, they also try to come up and say that I'm not going to sin, I'm going to be a righteous person, I'm going to visit the church, I'm going to go to the synagogue, I'm going to wear the cap of the Judaic religion, and I'm going to be a person who is very open-minded to talk to the Muslims, to talk to the Hindus, to the Christians, and we all are the same. There's pluralism and there's, you know, but because the root is very much different, although they talk about these things, but a representative of Allah who has the authority to implement on the people when they say about justice, liberty and equality and to control their desires is a very different thing, and we should not fall in the trap of putting them on the same level as our religious leaders that we are, the religious leader that we have. So then Imam goes into the different categories of people that are going to be there in his government, but for every single category he has the same category as he or same advice or the same category that he has was Malik Ashtar. Whether it is the judges, whether it is the soldiers, whether it is the tradespeople, for every single level of government that Imam describes and describes the types of people that will be in his government, he has the same criteria: fear of Allah, nobility, honesty, truthfulness, to follow the path of religion, to sacrifice for religion, not to have their lenient, not to be leaning towards money or power, or to be hungry of be able to have a status, or to say that you are better than the other individual. You know, he has the same criteria. as he has for his governor, as he has for the people who are going to be under his governor. And the responsibility, there is checks and balances, and the governor is told to make sure that this criteria is kept. Even if the people in the offices, they make mistakes, you know, they make honest mistakes knowingly, yani unknowingly, or even if unknowingly they end up making mistakes in their office, but the governor or the ruler, Hazrat Malik Ashtar, was advised by Imam Ali al-Sattar to forgive and forget, to make sure that, you know, if the mistake is as such that, you know, the person has learned, to give them another opportunity. But in where he, Imam was completely, he told Hazrat Malik Ashtar to be strict about, is that if they were to lose the fear of Allah, if they stop doing their obligations, if they started leaning towards the world, if they started hoarding money, if they started telling others that they're better than others, they started become hungry for status. In these matters, he said, no compromise. But in the logistics, you know, in the management, in the logistics, mistakes are going to be made. You know, they're human beings, they're going through the process of getting better. Some mistakes will be made, but there is a protocol that he's given as well to make sure that, and the way that the mistakes are handled is that the person is not embarrassed or does not have animosity or anger that will come against the ruler or the leader. To also say in a way that the person will understand, understand their mistake, will make themselves better, and also not have animosity for the ruler. You know, so in every single aspect, when you look at the responsibility of Hazrat Malik Ashtar, he had, Imam Ali alayhi salam had the same responsibilities. And in the 4 years and 9 months that he ruled, the standard of living that he had, and the amount of hardships that he had to take in upholding the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon those people who had become totally away from the path of Allah, who had become greedy, who had become power hungry, who had become status hungry, who thought of themselves as better than the others, who did not have the fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, who showed that they were religious but they were not religious. Imam went through a lot of difficulties, but it was the same principles and the same duties that he performed as well. And when you look at the life of Imam Ali alayhi salam as rights of others, you know, he puts himself as on the priority list as on the bottom. The first, the rights of others should be given first. The stomachs of the poor should be fed before the stomach of Ali is going to be fed. The bread that he's going to eat is going to be better than the bread that any of the people in his government are going to be eating. The dress that he's going to wear is going to be as such that even the poor, the ones who don't have enough in their life, will look upon him and say that our dress is better. The shoes that he would wear, the way his house would be, the way that his kids would be raised, the way that his wife would get the things that are necessary for life, would be as such that when the people who are being ruled will look upon him and his household, will not feel as if, you know, they have less, as if they are not being cared for, as if that the ruler is not trying enough to give them what is required of them. And you see that in the life of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam, and also you see that in the life of all of the representatives that he had. And the third group, which we sort of got into the discussion, and is the poor people, the ones who do not have enough. Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam has advised Hazrat Malik Ashtar to keep them in mind foremost, the orphans, the destitute, the disabled, the old, the ones who cannot go and acquire the sustenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the ones who have difficulty in acquiring the sustenance of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to keep them in mind and to give them from Baitul Mal, from the money that is collected, in a way that their dignity and their integrity is attached, and to be humble enough to go and see them and to sit down with them and to hear their complaints, in a way that, you know, even if their complaints are against his officers, in an environment where the officers are not present, so that they can openly tell them about the complaints that they have. And if you will, inshallah, read the letter, you will see that in reality, really, if there is a country that is implementing the advice of Imam Ali alayhi salam upon the for the implementation of the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala upon the people, is Iran, and the mazhar, the symbol, or the one who has taken this advice, the person who has taken this advice of Imam Ali alayhi salam to Hazrat Malik Yashar to heart and implemented that in his life, is Imam Khamenei. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless him and protect him from the enemies. And you can see the implementation of the advice of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam in his life, and you also see that in the life of Agha Ahmadinejad. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect him as well and keep him safe, and keep him on the straight path, and be forbearing and with patience that he can go forward. So now, as far as we are concerned, we also have a bit of a government going on in our houses. In the household, the chief of staff, or the one who is responsible to implement the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, is the husband. And the husband should take this advice of Imam Ali alayhi salatu wasalam to heart and implement it in their household. And the beings who are being ruled are the wife and the kids, and they should also look into this letter and see what their sorts of responsibilities are towards the person who's given the authority to implement the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And this letter can also become an advice and a way to live our life in our household. And if we start implementing that, we'll start building the love of the system of liberty, freedom, justice, equality, rights in our hearts, in our kids, in the hearts of our kids. And slowly we will become ready for having this authority being implemented by the true representative and the complete representative and the infallible representative of Allah, Imam Shaman Sattu Salam. And my sisters are not going to take this as an offense, or have their hearts become, here we go again type of a thing. No, it's not that. When you will read the letter, you will see that the rights, there are more rights of the ones that are under the authority of a person who is supposed to implement the right of Allah, than the one who is, the rights of the ones who are being ruled are more than the rights of the ruler. And the responsibility of the ruler is greater, and on the Day of Judgment the questions are going to be a lot more than the ones who are being ruled. Although in our households we have a little bit different system of government, in most of the households where the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being implemented on the house by no one, first of all. A lot of the households, no authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being implemented. Although the authority of the version of freedom, liberty and equality and capitalism and imperialism and Zionist way of thinking and to follow their lowly desires and being extravagant and be status conscious and you know, have all of the things that you desire and don't worry about anything, that system of authority is being implemented. Now, that doesn't matter whether the man is implementing that authority in the household or the woman is implementing. The system is wrong. But then we have households where the authority of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is being implemented by the husband. And alhamdulillah, you know, these are good households, the system is running good, and inshallah the products will also be really good. Then we have the households where the system of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is trying to be implemented by the wife, which is now going to bring about the results. The person responsible should do that. And then if you take advice of Imam Ali in reference to fear of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, to control your lowly desires, to make sure that you follow every single step of the religion and the teachings of the Rasulullah sallallahu alaihi wasallam, and the responsibilities are done and there is checks and balance, you will find that as an advice for your own self as well, because you also have a government inside. Your lowly desires are the ruled. Your ambitions and your ideas and your goals and how you want this life to be is the ruled, and the ruler is the authority of Allah, the system of Allah, the tenets of Allah, the ideologies, the jurisprudence and the spiritual development that has been given to us. That is the ruler, and you have to implement that on yourself. And remember to implement that as Imam is asking Hazrat Malik Ashtar, and you will find that this can also be this can also be incorporated inside of a person. And once actually it is incorporated inside of a person, then the result is from outside in the household, you see that being implemented, you see in the community being implemented, and then you see in the country, and then eventually in the world to be implemented. And inshallah, the one that we're waiting for is going to come, he's going to correct us, he's going to teach us, he's going to give us ample amount of time so that we can so that we can go through the process of learning and to have the submission to the will of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. I will finish it here. If there are any questions, my brothers or sisters can ask, I'll be happy to answer. Although I have lost connection on the phone, so I'll be waiting for that as soon as I have connection. And if you have any questions, you can also, I believe, send them via email to the organizers, and they can ask on your behalf, and I can, inshallah, give you that. Inshallah, I mean, it's almost 50 minutes that I've been talking. In reference to the questions, I have not received a call from the conference where the brothers and sisters are listening, who can communicate to me. The ones who are watching me on the internet, they don't have a way to communicate to me. So inshallah, if I don't receive a call from that side in another minute or so, we will end it, and inshallah for next week we'll continue our discussions And my prayers are with you, and I ask Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to have you pray for me, that I'm able to take the advice and of Imam Ali alayhi wasallam and implement that in my own soul, and also try to implement that into my household, and if Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala wills, in the community. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala bless you all, forgive our sins. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect the revolution of Islam in Iran, and have that connected to the revolution of Imam Ismail. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala protect Imam Khamenei from the insinuations and the plans of the enemies. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala make us from the true followers and friends of Imam Ismail. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala increase the levels of shuhada of Islam. May Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala give us the ability to help the ones who have left behind, and for us to follow their teachings and their example. And inshallah, that Imam will come as soon as possible. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. We pray to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for him, for his safety, for his quick return. Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ala Muhammad. Allahumma kulli waliyyaka al-Hujjat ibn al-Hassan. Salawatuka alayhi ala abaih. في هذه الساعة وفي كل ساعة وليا وحافظا وقائدا وناصرا ودليلا وعينا حتى تسكنه أرضك طوعا وتمتعه فيها طويلا برحمتك يا أرحم الراحمين. Hello. Yes. Yeah, Mohsin, if there are any questions, I've actually finished it, but I mean there's about 8 minutes left in the hour, so no problems. Yes. Yes. Walaikum salam. Yes, I can hear you. My phone is not muted, Mohsin. Hello? Again, we're having some technical difficulties in reference to the teleconference, and my apologies, not in my control. Although if there's any inconvenience, I apologize. Inshallah, for next week, we'll see you. May Allah SWT bless you.